Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 119. And this afternoon we will read verses 1 through 24. Psalm 119, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Aleph. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Bet. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Gimel. Deal bountifully with Thy servant, that I may live and keep Thy word. Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not Thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto Thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from Thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept Thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but Thy servant did meditate in Thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. All right, well, so let's introduce Psalm 119. Most of you know that it is the longest psalm in the Psalter. Most of you also know that it is divided into 22 sections, one for every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And you heard me at the beginning of each of those eight verse sections, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, this week. Of course, we'll go on through the rest of the alphabet as the weeks continue, Lord willing. So we have then 22 sections, eight verses apiece. And each one of those sections, as they have the Hebrew letter that designates them, which would be the Aleph, and then the Bet, and then the Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, Zion, and so on, each of the first words of each of those verses begins with that same letter. So it's obvious here that we have a Hebrew construction that is made specially for memorization. Okay, so eight verses, for instance, in the first section, each one of those lines begins with the letter Aleph, each one of those words. In the second section, Beit, each one of those words begins with Beit, and so on all the way through to Tau, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. 22 sections, 8 verses each, 176 verses in all, and each 8-verse section beginning with the same Hebrew letter. It's obviously made for memory work. The second thing I want you to know about Psalm 119 is, as a wise theologian once said, the Psalms are a little Bible. So often in history, Psalm 119 has been referred to as a little Psalter. Okay, so we have, you know, the drilling down into various spheres or contexts, and so very often we have heard that Psalm 119 is like a little Psalter. As I told you earlier, Psalm 119 is a Torah psalm. Torah. The Torah is an Old Testament word that has a very large usage. Most of all, it refers to the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, but not just the Ten Commandments, but their implications and applications, both moral and positive, throughout the rest of the Old Testament. And it's called the Torah, the building up of the way God's people are supposed to behave themselves in this world as they hear, receive, and endeavor to live out the law of God. That's what Torah means. Torah is often translated in your Bibles as law. Okay, well, I don't know if you know this or not, but out of the 176 verses in the Psalter, there are several different names that are given for the law of God in this psalm. So let me just read for you 12. Law, commandment, testimony, precept, word, way, statute, judgment, truth, faithfulness, righteousness, and fear. Okay, those are some of the ways that the law is referenced in Psalm 119. But what's interesting about that mostly is that there are three verses, and only three verses, in all of Psalm 119 that don't have some mention of one of those names of the law of God. Only three verses. And so I'm going to leave you to study Psalm 119 this week and see if you can find those three verses where one of those names of the law of God are not given. And I'll be looking forward to hearing from you next week to see if any of you found those three verses. If you only find one or two, that's okay. That'll be encouraging also, all right? So as long as you did the search, right? Okay, so we have this kind of a pivotal point. Now, as far as the dating of the psalm is concerned, it's not really possible to date it. Dr. Robertson, in his latest book on the Psalms called The Flow of the Psalms, says that according to him, Psalm 119, because it doesn't mention the temple, it doesn't really mention worship, this is that we should or could consider it to be a post-exilic psalm. After the children of Israel were carried away captive and their temple was destroyed, rebuilt again, but never in the same fashion as it was before, that the people of God during the days of the exile, what would their hope be? Though their hope could not be in the temple that they once had. That had been scraped to the ground. But they would take hope in the law of God. And so this Torah psalm then would be the exaltation of the people that while they've taken our worship away from us, they cannot take the word of God from us. Kind of that sense. The other majority report among solid scholars is that this is a Davidic psalm, which then obviously could not be post-exilic, but it would also be before the temple was built and would still extol the commandments, statutes, judgments, and so on of the Lord. For me, I tend toward the latter. I think the psalm is Davidic, although it is given to us without a title and without authorship. Okay? All right, so the first section then, we begin in the same way that the Psalter begins, with that Hebrew word Ashrei. You remember one of the names of the children of Jacob, his name was Asher. Asher means blessed or blessed. Ashrei, blessed, are the undefiled who walk, undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. And so this psalm begins as the Psalter begins itself in Psalm 1. Blessed is that man who, and we remember the rest of that psalm. The blessing that is promised to God's people in Psalm 119 over and over again is the blessedness of obedience. The blessedness of obedience. I don't want you ever to think that obedience is not a blessed thing. It is. Number one, we are blessed to have the law of God as our guide and direction in living. Second, we are blessed in that the Lord has strengthened us in these days of the New Testament by sending His Spirit upon us in that we call upon His name, in that He has blessed us with the grace of regeneration. We have a strength that we did not have naturally toward obedience. And so that's also a blessing. But then third, the Lord, although He does not treat with us in a meritorious fashion, it's not a quid pro quo. It's not a tit for tat. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. He doesn't work like that. But one thing that He does do is when we obey Him, He blesses us to encourage more obedience. And so there's a great blessing that is attached to obedience for the people of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the way of the Lord. Notice again, we're going to double it. Blessed, and so that's not doubled out of accident. That is to call our attention to the blessing of obedience. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. So we see then the blessings that are attached to obedience in the first section. Also in the first section, he bewails his own weakness and inability, and he craves strength from the Lord to do what God has commanded him to do. He asks for mercy, not to be forsaken, even though he has not measured up to that holy standard. And then the third thing that he asks for is that he has not only asked for a heart given to obedience, but he has an expectation of it. He says, when I shall learn, or when I have respect unto thy commandments. And so he has a strong expectation, a strong hope that the Lord will indeed grant to him the obedience that he craves. That's a particular craving there in verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. All right, moving on to the second section, Bet. We have the wonderful ordinance of memorization that is pressed to our hearts. It's not just the ability to read the Word of God. It's not just the ability to know and to understand His commandments that the psalmist presses here, but also he presses memorization. Notice he says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. I remember learning that verse when I was, it's verse 11. Maybe I was 11 when I learned that verse. I don't know, maybe a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger. But that's a verse that we've all heard. We've all spoken about many times. We have given that knowing nod when someone has quoted it, right? Okay, but what is being pressed to us there? What is being put upon us there? That we also should hide the Word of God in our hearts. That is a hedge against sin. And the horror of the psalmist in Psalm 119 is that he and others would violate the law of God. And so his desire is for obedience, and his horror at disobedience then says to him, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, and to us as well. That memorization is a hedge toward directing and guiding our thinking in the right way. And of course, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, or out of the heart cometh all the evil things or all of the good things, right? Okay, so that's, let's just maybe briefly wrap up the second section with that. He says, I will not forget thy word also. I will delight myself in thy statutes. So that goes hand in glove with memorization. All right, so then we come to the third section, Gimel. And notice he says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Now we might think that bounty is something different than that. We might think that bounty is, you know, having a big bank account, a nice house on the hill, you know, three cars in the garage or 15, and, you know, an acre or two or 1,000 around us. You know, the psalmist writes, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. So the bounty that he requires or that he desires from the Lord is obedience, that he may live and keep thy word. And he sees that as an opportunity. Our opportunity when we rise in the morning is what? Well, it's an opportunity to obey. It's an opportunity to serve the Lord. Okay, so then notice his great desire here. This is another one of those verses that we've heard over and over again. We're going to find that there are a lot of verses like that in Psalm 119. But notice he says, Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we've all heard that and gone like that. We heard it. Mm-hmm, yeah, we get that. That's what we want, right? We want open eyes. Notice that we must pray that the Lord would open our eyes for that understanding. It's not a natural understanding, in other words. Notice in verse 20, My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Now, we can look at that and say, well, the psalmist, he was engaging in a little bit of hyperbole there. Well, you know, this is the Word of God, and so I'm less inclined to think it's hyperbole than it is the expression of a pious heart. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. And the breaking of the soul there, I think, Number one, it speaks of the intense desire that the psalmist has for an understanding in the commandments of God and what it means to follow Him and the desire that he ought to have toward that. But then there's the breaking of disobedience, right? The grief and disappointment that comes when we are found sinners, when the Lord reveals to us some iniquity that we've been cherishing or whatever. So there's that as well. All right, so then we see at the end of section 3 there that the psalmist takes comfort in the commandments of God. That he's being rebuked, he's being persecuted, perhaps ostracized, patronized, marginalized, whatever the persecution is. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes did also sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselor. So what we hear from the psalmist here, and if I slip from time to time as we're working through Psalm 119 and say, David, please forgive me, but that is my view. But as the psalmist writes here, we have then this comfort where even though outwardly we're being pursued and persecuted, perhaps because of obedience, that we take comfort in that obedience as we meditate upon the statutes of God. All right, well, that ends our first reading, Psalm 119, 1 through 24.